Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffun.net.
Steve Lamack and Joe Wiley have now left the building. Richard Herring and Stuart Lee have now entered the building through the same revolving door. Thus, the number of people actually in the building has remained a constant. FM with Lee and Herring, a celebration of mediocrity.
Inundating our world, twisting the emotions of women, distorting our men.
We will return to our regularly scheduled program momentarily. Please stay tuned.
And worship at the Church of Lee and Herring.
I'm Stuart Lee.
And I'm called Richard Herring.
Listen to us with your ears.
Do what we say.
We want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do.
Obey ye our 11 commandments.
Disrespect your elders.
Spread confusion.
Befriend idiots.
Treat receptionists with disorientating warmth.
Leap nimbly.
Misinform the young.
Teach foxes to dance.
Write minor swear words in the condensation on windows.
Regret your achievements.
Declare yourself lord of the ants.
Laugh openly at people eating yogurts on public transport.
But the most important of these commandments is
leap nimbly.
Alone, they are nothing. Together, they are nothing. Because two times nothing is nothing. Don't you even know that?
Hello!
Hello, Stu!
I was talking to the listeners there, Rich.
Oh, sorry. Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat, music, and us looking at events in the world from the trademark slightly unusual angle of two men in their late 20s who have no real interests and whose view of the world around them shaped by watching morning television and who generally only leave their homes to buy sweets and Diet Coke at the local newsagent. Plus, we've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel. On 1FM.
Yeah, I chose all the great music, though, me.
Oh, come on, Stu, that's subjective. Surely, you know, who can say? Who can truly say what's good and what's bad music?
Well, I can, me, Stuart Lee. I am the sole arbiter of musical taste.
Oh, yeah? When did you get that?
Well, I've just decided it, but yeah. I am. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
I know. This is Prison Shake from the new album The Roaring Third. This is called Two Sisters. It's quite good.
Stars in your belly, warm and numb. Maybe it's a worm, 'cause you don't have a soul. Sit on the rooftop, concrete sky, no stars shine in this place.
Stop it, Steve. And
this week, the comet has hit Jupiter. Ring 765-4925 if you're worried about any friends or relatives. Only the gas that's there on Jupiter. Remember to add 071 if you're outside the Jupiter area.
Yeah. Also, last week, we saw the 2000th episode of Neighbours in News a Bit Closer to Home. And it was good to see Lucy back there, wasn't it?
Nope.
No, yeah, oh well. Lucy in her third hand-waving incarnation, played brilliantly by Colin Baker, of course.
I much prefer the William Hartnell one myself, you know, with the adenoid problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even close to home in Nottingham, Baby Abby's been found. Hooray!
Yeah!
The police are in a bit of trouble there in Nottingham, of course, because Abby was found under the hospital bed all the time. They're always in the last place you look, aren't they, those babies?
Well, she just slipped down the bank.
It could happen to anyone. They are very little.
Like socks.
Yeah. They heard a mewling, but...
We walked, city block after city block, and the time is stretched just as thin as a rubber band around your skin, and we keep searching for the perfect moment for the air to stop dead between us, between us, between us, between us. Now look at what we've done.
Oh yeah, and we forgot Peter Bainham from Balham is here with us as well.
Hello.
Hi, Pete.
Hi.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's make a toast to the girl on the hill. They say she won't, but her sister will. So here's the assistant.
Well, I'm really pleased they found Baby Abby again. I was worried they weren't going to, and it's really good, because means we can all have a bit of a laugh about it now. Everyone can just relax.
You can now. You make jokes about it now, but like last week, you see, you couldn't. Like last week when she was still missing, it was wrong to make jokes about
her.
And that's what that bloke Gary failed to understand. He thought if he phoned in and said he got her for a bit of a laugh, everyone would go, and laugh.
Be his mate and stuff.
But it didn't work out like that, did it? Because he mistimed it.
You've got to be careful with practical jokes. A good practical joke would have been to put some cling film over a toilet. You know, that would have been funny. But ringing up and saying you got a baby, not so good. But... luckily, he's going to be probably amused by the practical jokes that the other prisoners are going to play on him when he's in prison, the sort of in the showers.
With razor blades, I expect. Yeah.
And sort of nooses and things. But I've got advice for anyone who's having a baby this week, is don't give your baby to anyone at the hospital, even if if they're dressed as a nurse or if they got ID, just don't give it to anyone. If you're in the delivery room, there's a bloke trying to take your baby away from you, don't let him. Just keep it in there, keep it in your wife or in yourself if you are the wife. It's safer in there. No one's going to get it. You'd have to be a very nimble and crafty thief to get in there undetected.
David Niven probably would have been able to get it out of there.
He probably would.
Very nimble.
He
like
wasn't
that.
Nimble, but he's dead now, unfortunately. Yeah,
Can I ask something? I saw a headline on Sunday on one of the papers, and it had many Abbey returns.
Mm.
And I was just, why did it have many at the beginning? Because it's like Abbey returns was the news.
Well, it's a clever pun about Abbey. It sounds a bit like happy. You see, there are quite a lot of them, you know, Abby ever after was happy.
A lot of them had puns in the papers like that. Yeah. There's another one, for example, if Abby had been found in, hidden in some monk's clothes somewhere, it might have said, get the Abby habit.
Yeah, which would have been funny. It's a nice little joke to end off this tragic story.
If the lady had been keeping Abby in her car, in the front of the car, they would have said, Abby in her bonnet.
Yes, you've got the idea.
They might have said that. And I understand this week you got some mad thoughts for us.
That's right.
About?
I was wondering if anybody else out there has this. They're like when you have like a mad thought in your head, you know, in a strange place where you shouldn't have it. You know, it just comes in your head. You know, for example, I was in an interview once, and it was going really well, and the man obviously liked me, and he asked for my CV, mm-hmm. and then I thought, what would it be like if I just gave him a big picture of some frogs? You know, that'd just spoil things, wouldn't it?
Good, yeah, it's a good mad thought, Pete. If there's anyone out there who feels that they can match mad thoughts, do call in or write in with your own mad thoughts.
Yeah, I had a mad thought, actually. The other week, I was wondering, what would it be like if I had a detachable penis? I wrote a song about it, actually. This is me singing it now. Played that guitar there as well, that's me.
You did.
I did. And the drums coming in a minute, it's me. I left those for a bit, though. thought that would make a better effect. That's me on that.
You did it on 8-track.
I woke up this morning with a bad hangover, and my penis was missing again. This happens all the time. It's detachable. This comes in handy a lot of the time. I can leave it home when I think it's going to get me in trouble, or I can rent it out when I don't need it. But now and then I go to a party, get drunk, and the next morning I can't, for the life of me, remember what I did with it. First I looked around my apartment and I couldn't find it. So I called up the place where the party was, they hadn't seen it either. I asked them to check the medicine cabinet, cause for some reason I leave it there sometimes, but not this time. So I told them if it pops up to let me know. I called a few people who were at the party, but they were no help either. I was starting to get desperate. I really don't like being without my penis for too long. It makes me feel like less of a man, and I really hate having to sit down every time I take a leak. After a few hours of searching the house and calling everyone I could think of, I was starting to get very depressed, so I went to the Kiev and ate breakfast. Then as I walked down 2nd Avenue towards St. Mark's Place, where all those people sell used books and other junk on the street, I saw my penis lying on a blanket next to a broken toaster oven. Some guy was selling it. I had to buy it off him. He wanted $22, but I talked him down to $17. I took it home, washed it off, and put it back on. I was happy again. Complete. People sometimes tell me I should get it permanently attached, but I don't know. Even though sometimes it's a pain in the ass, I like having a detachable penis.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Had there been an actual emergency, your local station, in conjunction with the relevant federal authorities, would have broadcast the following pre-recorded announcement.
Satire of like male sexual identity anxiety,
but mainly because it's got the word penis in it over and over again. I like that. The swearing bit's what I like.
Lee and Herring on 1FM. Every time you turn them off, a fairy dies.
So keep that dial tuned to 1FM. And if you're at a loose end this week, here's Kevin Eldon with some What's On. Hi, Kev.
Hi, Rich. Lot to get through this week, so let's dive straight in. Are you a Jewish man of under 4 foot in height? Do you like playing badminton and dressing up as a woman? Then come along to the Small Jewish Transvestite Badminton Club. You can play badminton with other small Jewish transvestites in a relaxed and friendly atmosphere, or just watch secretly from behind a curtain. Remember, you must be under 4 foot, Jewish, like dressing up as a woman, and like playing badminton to join. Every Friday in Fife. And let me just say this to you. Hair mice. Yeah, you can weave life-sized mice out of the hair of the dead at the Phoenix Cinema in Oxford next Friday at 5 p.m. Sounds fun. And what about this? The Eric Idle Club. Anyone who believes Eric Idle was any good can come along and explain why Eric Idle was the best in Monty Python. They also discuss why the bloke who looked like Eric Idle was the best in the Mary Whitehouse Experience as well. And this week's film is the superb Splitting Hairs. And finally, returning to the hair thing, we've got a hair collection event here. Arthur Nutby of Leicester has a collection of 79 hairs from two continents. The collection of hairs, which includes 19 of the hairs from the head and body of 2.4 children star Gary Olsen, will be open free to the public on Monday at Gosport Labour Club.
Thanks, Kev.
Stu?
Yeah?
Yeah, I've got another mad thought. Can I say it?
All right, then. Okay.
Yeah, well, I was on a tube train the other day and this old man got on, this quite fat one.
Yeah.
And I had the idea of what if he'd got on in a huge pram.
Good. Is that the thought?
Yeah. That's the best one so far.
Good, well done for that, Pete. That's a mad thought. Kev there doing the listings before then. Last week, we sent Kevin out to take a look at what's going on the roads.
The M4 motorway, as most of us would recognise it, clogged with speeding traffic. But the M4 known to Graham Lodge and his team is a very different M4. The M4 of the night.
It's 4 a.m. We've been on the rock now for 2 hours already. Basically, what we have to do is drive up and down the motorway all night, removing debris and all things that have been abandoned and dangerous rubbish off the carriageway, which could, of course, cause some nasty accidents. But you wouldn't believe some of the things we found people leave around. There was that picnic table in the fast lane near Newbury, do you remember that? World War II Spitfire engine. Don't know how that got there.
I found this Egyptian, what's it called, like sarcophagus, some sort of mummy. Mummy casing, crusted with jewels and that.
When I was on the M3 run, right, I found a 90-foot inflatable model of Dale Winton, the host of Supermarket Sweep. What was it doing on the M3 at 2 in the morning? That's
Of course, most nights aren't as eventful as the things we've described there, but every scraggy, as we motorway maintenance men like to be known, has his own little story, apart from Simon. Shut up, Simon.
But in recent months, Graham and his scraggies have witnessed a disturbing new trend in motorway dumping.
Graham, there's a report of a wife on the southbound carriageway near Junction 22.
10-4, Joyce. Turn around, lads. It's another wife.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. Increasingly, these days, husbands seem to be abandoning their wives. These young blokes, right, marry a girl without really thinking about what they're letting themselves in for. You know, they're all excited on the wedding day, the parties and everything. But after a few months, you know, the novelty value of the wife wears off. She's maybe grown bigger than when he first got her, you know, she's eating more food, and she's a lot less cute than she was before, and so these men abandon them to their own fate here on the motorway. It's a disgrace.
There she is, over in the middle lane there.
Right, missus, come with us. We'll look after you. Come on.
Where am I? Who are you?
You're all right, love. You're with the Scraggies now.
Oh, the Scraggies. Oh,
thank you. Do you know where you live, love?
Not sure. Shrewsbury, I think.
Come on. Yeah, most of the wives are still quite young, you know, in their 20s. And I think the husbands are thinking, you know, we'll leave them on their motorway. They can take their chances. You know, they're probably going to be okay. You know, they're quite limber. But some of the wives are very old and ill. Some unable to walk, you know, and their husbands are too mean to pay for them to be treated in the hospital. That's tantamount to murder. You can call me old-fashioned, but I consider murder to be a crime, and there should be legislation.
There is legislation against murder. It's illegal.
Is it? Well, good.
When a wife can remember where she lives, the Scraggies have to take her home.
Do you know what time it is?
Is this your wife, sir?
No.
I am.
Oh, yes, it is. Where on earth did you get to?
You dumped me on the motorway.
Shut up!
Come on, everyone. Now, can I come and talk to you both? I've got some leaflets.
I've had to be trained in marriage guidance counselling now, you know, to try and sort of get the married couples back together, you know, and tell them how to spice up their sex lives again and that. But this glut of abandoned wives, it's interfering with our proper work. You know, I didn't become a scraggy to talk about Japanese love eggs, French ticklers and cock rings. Oh, it's motorway debris. I like tyres. Twisted metal, that sort of thing, you know?
If a wife is unclaimed for 6 months, the Scraggies get to keep her. And Graham has taken full advantage of this.
The M3 Scraggies, you know, they abuse their position. They've set up a kind of harem of their abandoned wives.
And harem?
It's tantamount to slavery. There should be legislation.
Slavery has been illegal in Britain since 1832.
Has it?
Yes.
Good. Well, I am more of a humanitarian type, see. What I've done here is I've set up this sort of self-help workshop where the wives turn the twisted metal junk we find on the motorway into fascinating abstract contemporary sculpture, like you often see on the outside of a public building.
Hello, Mr. Lodge.
Oh, hello, Jean, is it?
That's right.
What's that you're making today?
It's an allegory of the pain and sufferings of womankind throughout all human history.
Oh, it's coming along well.
Thanks.
It'll look nice outside a bank or something. Mm. Make the side a bit more bendy.
Right, okay.
And also, any profit the wives make from selling the sculptures goes directly into a special bank account that I have set up. For me, it goes to me, the money there. Well, it's 6 a.m, and as you can see, the traffic is starting to build up again. So that's the end of the day for us Scraggies. I think we need to educate the young fellas. You know, that would make our job here on the M4 a whole lot easier, because they have to realise that a wife is for life. I think you'll find the Bible agrees with me on that one. Ah,
Talking of motorways there, this is a tape that our showbiz friends Harry Hill and Al Murray got at a little chef restaurant on a motorway. It's a tape of cover versions of TV themes. Have a listen to this.
I don't remember the original version of this. It was from the Muppets. It had Animal, I believe, singing the Menomina bits, but he was very angry and cross, and that contrasted with the other bits. Whereas in this, listen, you've got sort of a bored bloke holding his nose, and that isn't quite as funny, I don't think. Remember this bit, Stu?
If anyone knows who this guy is or who he is, we need him to get in touch with us. One, because I've lost the sleeve of the tape and we need to give him the PRS fee. And also, we'd like to talk to him and find out why he did it.
He was so, having a bad day that day.
Honestly, can't be bothered to do it. Can't be bothered to do it properly.
He's holding his nose. Listen, he's bored. Can't get paid to do that. The girls are trying hard.
If you stumble across anything like this, not necessarily just lousy music, but anything interesting on a tape or anything, send it in to us on the address, which is Lee and Herring, room 125, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A, 1AA. Anything. And we've got a mad thought coming in. Who's that on the phone?
It's Sarah here.
Hello, Sarah. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Basildon.
And what's your mad thought?
I had a really good one, actually. I thought, wouldn't it be really good if you saved up, like, loads of money before Christmas? Like, about £300. And then you went to the shop before Christmas and you spent it all on fuses and plugs and things like that. That'd be really good.
Thanks for calling in with that then, Sarah. That was a mad thought from Basildon.
Lee and Herring on 1FM, the rightful princes of the new Europe.
Hello, my name is Simon Quinlank, and I want to tell you about my hobby. It's a good hobby, and you might like to try it too.
758-643 842-178 777-777.
Train spotters are often the butt of jokes. There is a cliche that they are all boring anoraks with no personality or interests or girlfriends. But as with most cliches, this is completely true. So, what if you are quite a cool, together person with a life, but also a keen interest in trains and numbers? Well, my hobby is for you. I am a train ignorer. For my hobby, you need a pad, a pencil, a list of all the rolling stock in Britain today, a flask of weak lemon drink, and a train spotter. My train spotter is called Gareth.
Hello.
Go to a railway siding with your train spotter and wait. You may like to drink your lemon drink at this point, or save it for later. When you hear a train coming, close your eyes. Then when you're quite sure the train has gone past, open your eyes again. You've just ignored your first train. Of course, you need the train spotters to tell you which train and rolling stock you've just ignored, so the numbers could be checked off your list.
You ignored all those carriages, Simon, but I wrote them down for you.
Thank you, Gareth. With time, patience and dedication, you could be like me and have ignored all the trains in Britain. Then you can start all over again. The good thing about this hobby is that you have to do it with a train spotter who's obviously much duller than you, so it also raises your self-esteem and status. And when there aren't any trains around, you can bully the train spotter.
Right, ow, Gareth! Gareth. Ow,
now,
ow!
Say, I am a girl!
I am a girl!
Hi, this week we've been out and about trying to think of like things to do, and I don't know if you've been watching the news, but you might have noticed that the Labour leadership is up for grabs. So me and Rich thought we'd apply for it. This is the letter I sent.
Yeah, these are real. We did do these.
I wrote to Margaret Beckett and said to her, "I am writing to you for me to become the next leader of the Labour Party. I'm not at present a member of the Labour Party, but I have always voted Labour, except for when voting tactically against the Tories or when I lived at home because my mum said she'd throw me out if I voted Labour. I'm young, 26, which would be quite good. good, as leader I'd scrap wrong and unpopular laws like the poll tax. I'm well aware of world events, reading many newspapers regularly and some hardback books, and I would be good as leader because everyone used to say I was easily the most left-wing bloke at my boys' public school. My hobbies are going out and listening to music. Yours sincerely, Stuart Lee. And I did actually get a letter back from Margaret Beckett's representative, and this was it.
Yes, the reply reads the following. Dear Mr. Lee, I am writing on behalf of Margaret Beckett to thank you for telling her about your ambition to become the leader of the Labour Party. Yours sincerely, Jay Stringer.
You made the mistake there of writing directly to Margaret Beckett. She's deliberately going to sweep you under the carpet because your competition, you say, Stu. I was clever. I wrote to, sir or madam, so that went to a real Labour member. I wrote, I've noticed on the news that you're currently looking for a new leader, and I hope you do not think it's presumptuous of me to apply for the post. I think I'd be a good leader. I'm good-looking, at least compared to other MPs. And I'm a bit fat, so I combine the main attributes of both Tony Blair and John Prescott, without causing a division, as I am just one person. As to experience, I was a prefect at school, and I also got to the Somerset finals of a public speaking contest when I was 15. I didn't win because I got a bit nervous and messed it up a bit, but I am older now, and I think I'd be okay in the House of Commons. I think it's only fair to let you know that I'm also applying for the job of Tory leader, and will take whichever post offers me the most money. I know that sounds a bit mercenary, but I think it's important for socialism to be up to date with 90s reality. All my love and good luck in the future. I look forward to taking the helm. Richard Herring. And my reply was...
Dear Mr. Herring, thank you for your recent letter offering your services as leader of the party. As I am sure you're aware, the leadership ballot is now well underway and you are too late to join in the process. I think it might also be worth pointing out that you would have to have been a member of the party and a member of parliament before you would have been considered for selection. Thank you anyway. Yours sincerely, Angela Gaffney, Information Office.
So you didn't get it either then, Rich?
No. I think I'd have been good as leader and you could have been my deputy.
Well, you could have been my deputy if I'd done it.
Yeah, that's probably best because you're quite good looking and I'm quite fat.
And that's the way
and
it works.
And then we could let the women have it for a bit before
Socialists let the women have it for a bit and then put a bloke back in as usual. This is, coming up next, is this from the soundtrack of The Crow. This is corporate rock whores The Stone Temple Pilots with a track called The Big Empty. And after the news... we'll be talking to Timothy Robinson of the British Council of Sport and a report on Richard's dirty weekend alone.
Driving faster in my car, falling farther from just what we are. Smoke a cigarette and laugh some more. These conversations kill. Faster in my car.
Of course, notable for the death of its star, Brandon Lee. His father, Bruce Lee, also died very young. It's the curse of the Lees. They both died in their late 20s. Your name's Lee, isn't it, Stuart? Stuart Lee.
Yeah.
You're 26, aren't you?
So what?
Nothing.
Too much walking, shoes worn thin. Too much tripping. My soul's worn thin. Time to catch a ride. It leaves today. Her name is what it means. Too much walking, shoe worn thin. Take her.
got another mad thought coming in there. Who's on the line?
Oh, hello, it's Claire. I've often thought that I might be having supper with the parents of a boyfriend, and I thought of putting my food into my mouth and chewing it up, but not actually swallowing it. And then at the end of the meal, you've got a whole mouth full of chewed up food.
Right. Conveying the impression maybe that you've never eaten before. Right.
Yeah, that it was my first time.
Thanks very much, Claire. Can I have your CD player if you do die?
Why? Well, I'm not going to die, am I?
Well, I wouldn't plan a holiday for next year if I was you. That's all. Here's Catherine Mitchell with all your news needs.